You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, rejoined this week by my partner in crime, Brother Marcus Vandenberg. How you doing tonight, Marcus?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Ready to talk about some sports. Give a full episode this week. Last week we had the Royal Rant, so appreciate you all for downloading that. But this week we got a full show. All hands are back on deck. And Marcus, I know the listeners out there are wondering about how you spent your week. I don't think anything big happened. At least I don't. Looking at your Facebook, I don't think any major life-changing events happen, but I could be wrong.
I went to Vegas, so that's something new, right? That's that's a normal weekend. And, oh, I got married.
Uh-oh! Well, on behalf of all the listeners and everyone that is a fan of this show, I will extend congratulations to you and your fiancé, brother. Or you and your wife. Now I can start saying that.
You can.
Yeah, so congratulations, man. And I'm sure everyone is waiting to hear how your weekend went down out there in Sin City.
It went well. We got out there on Wednesday, drove out with my best man, who we'll get to later on, because he left quite the impression. Wednesday wasn't feeling too great, so just stayed inside. Thursday was the rehearsal, did that, and then we did a rehearsal dinner. For like 20 people, just immediate family.
Yeah, sidebar. Uh-huh. You know, for those that don't follow you on Instagram or aren't friends with you on Twitter or Facebook, excuse me. The rehearsal dinner, I'm just telling you folks, it looked like a rehearsal rap video because there was many bottles being popped in the pictures that I saw.
And that was at a buffet too. A buffet with booze.
Only in Vegas.
Only in Vegas. So yeah, the rehearsal was good, and then Thursday night, the plan was, I guess, because I didn't have a bachelor party with the people at my wedding, my groomsmen. They were trying to organize something. What ended up happening was we ended up just staying at the hotel and gambling with some buddies. They had tried to inquire the services of a female worker, a female talent. But by the time they started this plan in action, it was already, I think, after 2 a.m. And I was already asleep at this point, too. So they sort of dropped the ball there. But that's all right.
That is way too late to be trying to procure some entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. And the price that the talent responded with at first was a tad high. But since she quickly responded herself and lowered the price by half, so I guess she was looking for work. But
at 2 a.m. you got to take what you take.
Pretty much. So that was Thursday night, and then Friday was the actual wedding day itself. Prior to the wedding, I wasn't really too nervous. We sort of just had a regular day, did some gambling, and got to the wedding venue around...
Sidebar number two. There's a lot of gambling going on around this wedding, Marcus. Well, you sure you don't have a problem?
This was the first time I've gambled in over a year.
He just decided, you know what? I'll start the night before the wedding.
It was great. I all these times I
did
went
you
to
win?
Vegas. No, I did not win.
Oh.
No. But I'm going back for the Mayweather fight, so I'll try again then. I got catching up to do. But yeah, we got to the venue around 4. My wife got there around 2:45. They had a bride suite and a groomsman suite to get ready at. And of course, the bride suite was a lot better than the groomsman suite. But it was cool. It was just us and the three guys in the wedding. And we spent, prior to the wedding, they had a PlayStation 3. Not a 4 or a 3. And one of the games they had was a Fight Night from, oh geez, it must have been 2006, I think. And for whatever reason.
Was that the one with De La Hoya on the cover?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, we started playing. I was playing with B-Hop. And one of my groomsmen was playing, I think, with Roy Jones. And we couldn't get past the first round because there was some glitch where the fight would stop due to a DQ of Bernard throwing elbows. I had never seen this glitch before in my life in a video game where a fight will stop due to a disqualification in the first round. So that was uneventful. But before we knew it, it was 6:30, and we started on time. We don't mess around. Just because we're black, we start weddings on time here. And yeah, the wedding was good. The ceremony was probably 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
And yeah, we had a good turnout. We had some unexpected wedding crashes. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh.
Yeah. But the highlight of the evening, or the talking point that is still going on, was the best man speech.
Okay.
Which turned into the best man roast. Very quickly into the evening. Yeah, so my best man, Frank, I went to middle school and high school with him. And he decided to go back to something I wrote in this yearbook back in 8th grade. And that was sort of the crutch of his speech was this thing that I wrote in this yearbook in the 8th grade. Actually, he sent me the speech. Let me pull it up real quick. Hold on.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping he was going to pull my man from Coming to America. And just out of nowhere, she's your queen to me.
So basically, the Cliff Notes version is I wrote something in this yearbook that said, Frank, you are a major asshole who has no game. I am going to kill you.
Song language from middle school Marcus.
I know. I'm going to kill you.
This man's yearbook that his parents could see?
Yeah. Dodgers rule.
Question, is Frank white or black?
Asian. Korean.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure his parents was like, no good, Vandenberg.
Dodgers rule, and yes, I guess Marv Albert was cool back in 1990, whatever.
So that was before the scandal.
Yes, it must have been. I hope so. and basically...
So you called this man an asshole.
I did.
You threatened his life.
I did.
And you disparaged his sports team.
No, I said Dodgers rule, same team.
Okay, so that was the one saving grace.
Yeah, and he sort of broke down bit by bit why I said what I said. And the reason why I said you are a major asshole who has no game and I'm going to kill you is I will read this quote from his speech. I'll read these two drafts. Marcus was a serial monogamous. He rarely didn't have a girlfriend. For his sake, I'm going to refrain from telling you about some of these girls. Let's just say one of them liked to wear a lot of flannel, and you would have to bet your house that she was a lesbian. And that's not to speak of the one who actually turned out to be a lesbian. But anyway, which is true, this is all true. But anyway, in the 8th grade, Marcus was dating an Asian girl who had two big reasons any guy would want to date her. Let's just say if she was thrown in the Pacific Ocean, she would have no problem floating safely to shore. But he didn't know that she was only going out with him because she had lost the chain of his and didn't want to confess to it. I told Marcus that she had lost his chain and ended up being mad at me for some reason, he was just frustrated, I think. But taking a long view, I'm sure this is where I started to gain his trust. So from there, he goes on about later relationships and how I used to would ask him his advice on women. And it finally stopped with Shannon. I never asked him really like what I thought or what he thought of Shannon in terms of looks. And it wasn't really until I bought the ring that I said, hey, you know, what do you think about the ring? So he turned it all back around to he made a baby face turn, but he came out quite a heel in the very beginning. So
Marcus tried to kill me.
Yeah.
He's a regular Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And speaking of the groomsmen, they did come out to some wrestling music.
The Nation of Domination?
No, because we had one black, one Korean, and one who's like half Hawaiian and half, I don't even know. But they came out to the NWO theme song. And I tried to keep it a secret, but the groomsmen did find out ahead of time, so they came out and hammed it up with the complete, you know, like Scott Hall.
Yeah.
They went all out, so I couldn't
see. I'm sure 80% of the audience did not know.
But the eight people who did, including Andreas, popped, so.
Like, this is like WrestleMania all over again.
I know. So that was the wrestling.
How mad were you that the real NWO stole your fit?
I know.
2 weeks before the wedding.
Upstaged by 55-year-olds.
let's get to these party crashes, Marcus.
Yeah, so family. You know, you reach a certain age in your life where you can sort of just say fuck it. Like, if I don't want you there, I'm grown. You don't need to be there. Well, this was not the case because I did have some wedding crashers who were not invited. Some family members on my side of the family. And the issue was I did invite my aunt to the wedding, aka her son. So I'm guessing word got back to them what was going on at the wedding, and he got all the info, and they drove out to Vegas and showed up to the wedding. Now, this would have been an issue, a big issue, if all of our people showed up to the wedding, but we had some no-shows unannounced. So technically, we weren't over our headcount, but it's the principle. Like, why would you show up unannounced to an event you're not invited at? And then, as we were sitting at the table, our sweetheart table up front, he comes up and he says, yeah, we're your unofficial wedding crashes for the night. Like, this is like a fucking joke.
Right.
I know, this isn't a joke. This is my wedding, and you weren't invited. You should leave. But, you know, at that point, I didn't want it to ruin my evening, so I just sort of let it go, and you know, it is what it was. It is what it is. But word of advice, if you're going to crash a wedding, please don't. It's not cute. I should say this. If you're going to crash a wedding you don't know. Don't crash someone's wedding you do know and you're not invited to, because they don't want you there. If they wanted you there, they would have invited you. Trust me. So that was the only sour part of the night. But besides that, it was a great time. You know, weddings really do fly by when you're in it, because you sort of look up and you barely have time to eat. You barely have time to drink. You barely have time to even go around and say thank you to everyone. So it was a great time. I'm not glad. I'm bummed that you couldn't make it out for it. But
yeah, I was gonna say, what was going on right there? You had another Steve Nash moment where your true feelings came out.
I'm glad Nate couldn't show up.
Speaking of crashers, like when you said that, I was like, oh, I hope this isn't a big nasty surprise.
No, I actually unfriended Alfred on Facebook.
The final step.
Well, I mean, because like, if he's not gonna respond to our messages, why are we friends? Like, why? So,
yeah, that would have been the I was like, okay, that wedding crashing story, while bad, wasn't as It wasn't as bad as I had pictured in my mind.
Listen, I would have been happier to see Alfred at the wedding than my cousin. So I would have been, Alfred, what are you doing here? Wait, what are you really doing here? But you have a seat. You're cool.
So just make sure you didn't hop behind the bar.
I know. Yeah, so that was it. And Saturday, we sort of just hung out by the pool.
Okay.
We had a couple of cabanas and sort of.
I like the way you guys did it because a lot of my friends, they have their weddings on the Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you know, everything is kind of rushed, but you spaced it out. So I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, we figured, you know, Vegas, most people were going to make a weekend out of it. Most people did. And, you know, if you have a wedding Saturday, you know, you really can't go all out Saturday night because you figure Sunday you're traveling back. So this way people had all of Saturday to chill out and do what they want, and then people left on Sunday.
Like I said, I wish I could have been there. Unfortunately, wasn't able to get out there. But I know that, you know, you guys are very much in love, and much like two other people who are very much in love, Jackie and Doug Christie, I'm sure you'll have a wedding every year, so I can come next year.
You said you left out the part crazy in love. That would be Jackie and Doug Christie. We are just in love.
So no renewing of the vows every single year.
Listen, that was my first and last wedding.
This is what this show is all about. You know, besides sports, besides pop culture, it's about growth. And we see our very own Marcus Vandenberg has grown from an asshole and a killer and somebody who disparages poor little Asian boys to a happily married man. And we are all happy and proud of you, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, but the other reason I know the listeners are glad that you're back, Marcus, is for a segment that has been taking off in popularity as the year has gone on, and that is, of course, Marcus Vandenberg's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro. Marcus, are you ready to give your first Hockey Minute as a married man?
I'm ready.
All right, somebody hit Marcus's music.
It's time for the segment that's cooler than a polar bear's toenails.
Gives the puck to Seth Jones. Leg one for Jones. Cutting it. He scores! Seth Jones scores on the feed out of the left wing corner.
It's Marcus's Hockey Minute, a.k.a. Ask a Hockey Negro.
All right. You're going to learn today.
Thank you. And this week's Hockey Minute is actually a request from you.
Yes, the very rare requested Hockey Minute from me. But I heard about this story, and I was like, I actually want to talk hockey this week.
No, we're not talking playoffs. That's underway currently. Nate doesn't talk about PK Subban sort of being the center of attention and getting tossed from game one. Did you see that play, by the way?
No, I didn't.
There was a slashing play where he slashed the wrist of a Ottawa rookie, and he got tossed from the game, and the Ottawa coach was basically asking for Subban to be tossed for the rest of the series. He's not getting suspended, but the rookie ended up breaking his wrist, so...
Oh, wow.
But there's some undertone there when it comes to PK, because anytime PK is involved in anything, there's always a subtle hint of racism. So
there's a black cloud around the situation.
Yes, there is for this one especially. So, but now we're not going to talk PK. We're going to talk the Los Angeles Kings. And
Marcus is very old.
They did not make the playoffs this year. They fell short. Which is fine. I mean, when you win two cups in 3 years, it's hard to really be upset. But the reason why we're talking to Kings is a story came out after the season ended about a incident that happened during the season back in, I believe, February, involving the Kings players and coach Daryl Sutter. And it was actually a incident that sort of helped get them on a winning streak, but at the time it was sort of a bizarre incident. back on February 7th, where after a Kings loss, it was a Kings win. After the game, the Kings players got back to the dressing room, and before Daryl Sutter could make it back, they decided to line up the door with trash cans and basically barricade themselves inside. And they wanted no part of whatever Daryl was talking about that night. And the coach could not get into the locker room, and by the time the coach got into the locker room, the Kings players are gone. So,
this is a brilliant story, because I heard the story, and I forget which. It was either Dan Patrick or Dan Le Batard, but I heard them talking about this, and I was like, oh, we got to talk to Marcus about this, because not only do you have the coach being locked out, but you have the players, much like a child, setting up a barricade behind the door in case he gets through that first line of defense. So I'm wondering, let's say Sutter was an expert safecracker or expert locksmith and was able to get in and able to push past the trash cans. Was the next line of defense, everybody brought a blanket from home. They hide nothing.
Hide.
They're like, you can't see me.
Don't move.
I'm invisible. Because when you was, that's one of the stupidest things ever. If you think about it, Marcus, when we were kids, and you thought like somebody was coming to get you, the boogeyman or somebody or whatever, monsters under your bed. If I hide under the covers, my life will be spared.
If only.
No self-respecting monster would allow you to live hiding under some sheets, yeah. under some He-Man sheets.
He-Man.
I actually had a pair of, like a set of He-Man bed sheets.
It's better than He-Man underwear.
Did you? Oh yeah, real quick, I'll give you the sermon I also got when I got my sheets. Because you know, as some of the listeners know, my dad was a Navy chaplain for many years, and he still does a lot of counseling and things of that nature. So very spiritual family. So he gave me the He-Man sheets, and he was like, "Nah, I want you to rest well on these sheets, son. But just remember, He-Man may be the master of Eternia, but God is the real master of the universe."
As I didn't say, I'm the real master of this motherfucking house. Don't mess up the sheets.
That was implied. Like, the pecking order was God, Pops, and He-Man.
Okay. He-Man was jobbing out to Pops.
Yeah.
He was doing the job.
Oh, but yeah, that is a crazy story because, like, I think the craziest element, even in a story that includes grown men locking out their coach and barricading the door with trash cans, is that this happened after a win.
Not only that, it would happen during when they were filming the Epic series before the San Jose outdoor game.
Really?
So there should be footage somewhere of this.
Oh, that is excellent. So is this something as a Kings fan, like, do the players have a problem with the coach, or was this just like an isolated incident?
Nah, I just think it might be an isolated incident. I don't think there's any rift between the Kings players, the Kings front office, and Sutter. Yeah, I just think he's a bit of a hard ass at times, and I think, you know, in February, there's probably a certain point where the players are sort of overhearing his mouth, and they decided to have some fun. You can only do this if you win two cups in 3 years, by the way. If you're losing, if you're like the Buffalo Sabres and you do this, then, you know, it's a bigger issue. But, you know, when you're having some success, it's all right.
It's very hijinky, very Animal House. Like, we'll pull one over on the old Dean.
it's just weird now that it came out. Yeah. Yeah, well, they have all offseason to hug it out and you know, get over it.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not going to get into much hockey beyond that, but just looking at the playoffs so far, the postseason, who do you think has the best shot of meeting up in the Stanley Cup Finals? And I know there's a team out there that Bill from Mr. Throwback Thursday is hoping you mention.
Yeah, I'm not mentioning the Rangers. If I had to make an early Stanley Cup prediction, I'm going to go with Chicago and... give me Montreal.
Okay. Chicago and Montreal. Okay, I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Like, I'll give you my prediction in a week or two.
Didn't someone ask you your prediction on...
on Impact? What, who did I say? Who did I say?
I forgot who you said. Oh, you said New York and Anaheim?
I said the Rangers. Yeah, because I went, in lieu of any actual hockey knowledge, I go with story, and I'm like, okay, let's go to New York, L.A. So I went with the Ducks and the Rangers.
Don't confuse Anaheim with L.A. That's mistake number one.
Hey, according to the baseball team, it's all the same.
Yeah, those are lies. They are Orange County.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and Rancho Cucamonga.
The worst team name ever.
Yeah, that is a pretty bad team name. So those are Marcus's early hockey picks. If you're a degenerate gambler like somebody on this show who I won't mention, you can go to Vegas and bet your money on Marcus's picks.
I'm looking forward to next week on the cruise ship. How's the casino?
Oh, no.
7 days.
I hope you have fun on the cruise ship, Marcus, but I hope this is not something that we come back to in about 6 months and you have to have a very special episode like I did that one time.
Oh, no.
You're like, I got to talk to y'all because I gambled all my life and I lost everybody. And Marcus Vandenberg, the expose. It got so bad I was gambling on episodes of Monday Night Raw. Like, damn it, Orton, why wouldn't you lose? the sad thing, though, is there are people out there that actually bet on wrestling.
Yeah. I've never done that before.
That's a special kind of...
loser?
Yeah. I was trying to think of a nice way to say
it. I wasn't.
If you're gambling on pro wrestling, that's just ridiculous.
Just don't do it.
Nah, don't do it. But what you can do is stick around because the show is going to roll on. Marcus and myself are going to come back next segment and talk about the National Basketball Association. So stick and stay because the Kings of Sport will be right back. All day, nigga. I can do this all day, boy. Woo! I'm finna turn this bitch out. Any day, yeah, in the streets, boy. Woo! It been a motherfucking draft. Don't really matter what I made, boy. Woo! You know I still go wild. Like a light-skinned slave, boy. Woo! We in the motherfucking house. What in the wide world of sports is going on here? I swear I've been on this blind. Like, I'm off right now. Super niggas getting money for a stump right now. Shout out to Jackie Chan, I need to stunt right now. They be looking at the gram, I be looking at the Grammys like, that's us right now. Right now. 24/7, 365 days, everybody getting paid. Go crazy. Niggas looking at me like I'm worth both them J's. People saying, yeah, take it easy. 20 G's, 20 G's. What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings. We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
Do you feel oppressed by all the vanilla sports talk out there? Do you feel like you're under attack by a herd of mindless hosts at the major networks? Well, have no fear. The Kings are here. The Kings of Sport. TheKingsOfSport.com.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, a proud member of Place to Be Nation. We are part of the Place to Be Nation family, and that is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, opinions, podcasts, whatever you want in terms of the world of pop culture, sports, music, comics, movies. You want it, they got it. Place to Be Nation is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings. So get down with placetobenation.com. Now, Brother Marcus, the NBA, that is what is on the schedule for right now. And I know it was a pretty big night for you, you know, the WNBA draft. So we're going to spend the next 30 minutes breaking this down because we got to get you guys ready for next season.
I really had no idea until maybe 30 minutes ago if the draft was today.
The only reason I knew was because I came home from work, and you know how they replay PTI and Around the Horn on ESPN2? Uh-huh. I clicked over there and took my shower, came back out, and PTI was just going off, and all of a sudden, it's the WNBA draft. And I was like, okay, let's change the channel.
Do you want to guess the first pick?
Oh, see, the last big college player that I knew was Griner, and that was a couple years ago. So let's see, the first pick, Juwan Man from North Carolina?
No. Start of a J, though. Jewel Lloyd from Notre Dame.
I have no idea who that is.
A couple years ago, they had Griner, Skylar Diggins, and Della Don.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, looking at this list now, I do know Talina Lewis of UConn.
That class and then Maya Moore, like those are the last recognizable names.
Yeah, this class is none of these names you would know. Yates. but two UConn women were drafted. So, and your Washington Mystics drafted Allie Mallett of Dayton.
That's ironically enough, that's the pick that I turned back on when I was, you know, how your TV.
Oh, really?
Your remote has like the flash button.
Uh-huh.
Where it goes back to the last channel. So I was flipping around and ended back up on ESPN2. And that was the only pick I saw was Allie getting drafted to the Mystics, which is still a terrible name.
By the way, the second pick. She was born in Sweden. Her name, Amanda Zuhai B. Like, literally, like, her last, it's like Z-A-H-U-I space capital B, period.
Yeah, the WNBA is terrible.
I'm very intrigued. Oh, she played at Minnesota. Okay. 6'5". Pretty tall.
I can't tell you. Like, the last time I was interested in the WNBA was, like, around that era off of the women's Olympic team when you had Lobo and Swoops and Leslie and those girls. Like, around the first couple years of the WNBA.
Okay.
And then you had a lull, and then you got Sue Bird in. It's like, okay, and then Taurasi, who, isn't she sitting out this year?
Yeah, she's in Russia. She's Russia is not allowing her to play, so she's taking the money.
Yeah. Taurasi, also accused of using steroids and whatnot. But nobody cares, because it's the WNBA.
Yeah. So that's like, I wonder, WNBA taught for the...
Like, yeah. let's real quick, like, if the actual plot of Juwan Man happened, like, mm-hmm. Let's say that there was a man that was banned from the NBA. Do you think that there would be any guy in the NBA that could reasonably pass in the WNBA?
As a woman?
Yes.
So, which NBA player has good facial features?
Because I'm thinking, like, like, maybe a Tony Parker?
No.
Tony Parker couldn't pass?
Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, so I guess the game is they have to be a pretty enough man to be an ugly woman.
Yeah.
Like a Chris Humphries.
Yeah, he grows his hair out.
Like, who's this new player for the Minnesota Lynx? It's Christine Humphries. Oh, so yeah, Juana Man, by the way, it's not a great movie, but it's a fun movie, so check it out. But enough of the silliness, let's get down to the seriousness of the playoffs. The postseason matchups have been set in the National Basketball Association, Marcus, and let's start out west, because that was a race that went until the final week to see who was going to claim the final spot, and I guess, is it a big surprise or a mild surprise that the New Orleans Pelicans were able to grab that eighth spot?
I guess a mild surprise when you consider the injuries Oklahoma City was battling. Durant was out. Ibaka was out. Russ broke his face, came back. He tried to carry them, and he couldn't get the job done. So they were really banged up. And, it sucks because he had such a great season, and I did want to see what he could do against Steph Curry in opening round series. But I think New Orleans has a better chance of maybe getting a game or two compared to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, because, you know, I think that New Orleans, they're not going to be around long, but I do give them credit for making it even this far, because if you look at the game against the Spurs, a game they had to have, and it was a game the Spurs, you know, it's not like the Spurs weren't playing for anything either.
Yeah, they're playing for the two seed.
Yeah, and the Spurs and the Pelicans, which is still a ridiculous name, but Anthony Davis is a player that he's already one of the 10 best players in the league, but I think in a couple of years, you know, you can make the argument that he is, without question, the best player in the league, the most impactful player in the league.
Yeah, considering he's only 22, I mean, he's just getting started here.
Yeah, so the Pelicans match up in the first round against the number one seed, the Golden State Warriors. I don't see an upset in that one, Marcus.
No, not at all.
All right, so then let's go to the next matchup, which will pit the second seeded Rockets against the Dallas Mavericks, doing a little Texas two-step. Who you got in that one?
Yeah, Houston, this is why the 2C was important and why the Clippers and Spurs are trying to go for it, because Dallas is headed in the wrong direction, and this allows Houston to avoid Golden State until the Western Conference Finals. So that's the big difference between the Clippers finishing at 3, where they did match it with San Antonio, which seems unfair. But Houston sort of did say, I don't want to say a cakewalk, but it's a lot easier path going through Dallas and then getting Golden State at the end compared to getting Golden State maybe in round two. So give me Houston in give me five games.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is, you know, they're a veteran team, but they're not a credible threat at this point, at least not to its team with as much firepower as Houston. You mentioned the Clippers. The Clippers come in the third spot, and they're going to take on the San Antonio Spurs in a matchup that I think might be the most intriguing first-round matchup.
Someone's got to lose. And, I mean, the Clippers have won 15 of 16 heading into the playoffs. They're a team that sort of, it's hard to imagine the Clippers getting disrespected, but I think there's such high expectations for whatever reason on the Clippers, and I don't think people feel the Clippers have lived up to the hype. I think they've exceeded the hype, considering they are the Clippers. And they were, I believe they had the third best record in the NBA this year, maybe third or fourth.
Yeah.
So it's hard to bet against San Antonio, though, so I'm going to have to go with the Spurs. I think they might go seven, though. So I'm going to go Spurs in seven.
Yeah, and this is one of those matchups where I don't think it's an upset, even though the Spurs are the lower seed, just with the amount of experience they have and the way that they're starting to, I'd say the last month of the season, you know, we saw them kick things up into that postseason gear that they're known for. The Clippers, though, this is real interesting to me, though, Marcus, because like you mentioned, they had a great record during the regular season. They worked so hard to get here. Obviously, Blake Griffin missed a lot of time this season. But if the Clippers get knocked out in the first round, where do you think that places this organization? Because they came into the season with championship aspirations.
That's a good question. I don't think, you know, Doc.
Like, I'm not saying the window was closed, but I do think some changes might need to be made.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, sometimes it's just bad luck. Luck of the draw. They went 56 and 26. There are a lot of teams that would kill to be 56 and 26, i.e. the Lakers. And I just think sometimes it's you know, yeah, chalked it up to the Western Conference being the Western Conference, and they've stumbled into the Spurs in the past. So, I mean, it's. I don't think Doc is in any trouble. I don't know how much cap space they have to really overhaul that team outside of moving Blake, which I don't think they would do. But you never know. So, you know, I don't think there will be panic, because there's not the same attention like the Lakers in LA on this team. So, I mean, assuming they don't get, like, swept. If they get swept, you know, that's an issue. But if they go 7 and they lose to the better team, to a team that could possibly be back in the finals again, it's hard to really, you know, blame them for that. So,
yeah. And they're still young enough, I think, that if they do lose in the first round to the Spurs, I still think you give this team and that coach especially, you know, at least one more chance to try to get things right next season.
Yeah.
And finally, the final matchup in the first round of the Western Conference playoff. It's going to pit the Portland Trailblazers against the Whoop Them Trick All-Stars, the Memphis Grizzlies. Marcus, I am calling the upset on this one.
It's not an upset. Come on. Who has the better record? Portland shouldn't be the 4 seed. It's just a stupid NBA system.
I mean, I really like Memphis. They're a veteran team. Vince Carter has been a pleasant surprise. Marc Gasol, I think, he gets some credit, but I don't think he gets enough credit for what he actually does in terms of changing a game and forcing a team to game plan for him. So I think Memphis is going to take it. What are your thoughts on that matchup?
Yeah, I think Memphis wins. Portland's banged up. I mean, LaMarcus came back and, while he's been playing, he still hasn't been 100%. And Aflalo, he got hurt. You know, they lost Wesley Matthews earlier in the year. So I just think they don't have enough firepower to hang with a gritty Memphis team.
I would agree. So those are our thoughts on the western side of the ledger. Now let's head out east, Marcus, where things get decidedly less interesting. The number one overall seed, let's give it up for Stevie K, T.I., the Hustle Gang, Danny Ferry, who's hiding somewhere because people think he's a racist, and the Atlanta Hawks, as they are the number one seed, taking on the Brooklyn Nets. Marcus, any way you see Brooklyn pulling an upset in this one?
No. I don't even think Brooklyn wants to be in the playoffs. I think they're probably upset they sort of backed away in. This means 4 more games they have to play now, so no.
You think Brooklyn would have much rather had a top 10 pick in the draft over versus being the 8th seed?
Yeah.
And isn't Provorov still trying to sell the team?
He is, reportedly, yeah.
Yeah, so much for that 5-year plan. The next matchup will pit the number 2 seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers, against the Boston Celtics. This is a matchup that could be fun for a game or two, but I don't see anybody stopping LeBron, at least not until the Eastern Conference Finals.
I am very intrigued by the Celtics team, and I know that's something I should be saying as a Laker fan, but Brad Stevens, the job he's done getting this team in the playoffs, he won't win Coach of the Year, but he should definitely get some votes for what he did this season. They don't have enough to stop Cleveland, but I think they could at least get a game at home. So I think they'd make it at least a 5-game series, but I don't expect it to last much longer than that.
Yeah, Boston's a very interesting team to me, you know, not just for the way this team has kind of come together, but you look at their future, and they still, like, they got the best of both worlds. We talked about the choice that Brooklyn, what would Brooklyn have rather had, a high draft pick to make the playoffs. Boston makes the playoffs, and they still got a bunch of draft picks from all the deals they made.
Yeah.
So I think Boston could be a team on the come up in the East in the next few years.
Yeah, they're in good shape.
Somebody whose shape and whose health we always kind of worry about is one Derrick Rose, and his Chicago Bulls will take on the Milwaukee Bucks in the who gives a damn region of the East. What are your thoughts on this matchup, Marcus?
First off, I think Jason Kidd is a lot of credit for getting Milwaukee in the playoffs. I mean, Milwaukee was awful last season. And when Kidd got there, I think most people were focused on his departure from Brooklyn and not so much what he could do with this team in Milwaukee. But I don't think many people expected Milwaukee to be 41-41, especially when you figured they lost Jabari Parker 25 games into the season. So shout out to Jason Kidd for what he did. They don't have a chance really to beat Chicago. I think Chicago is just too big on the inside. They have too many guys who they can throw at you. And we'll see what happens to Derrick Rose. You know, all eyes are on Derrick and see if his knee can hold up. Hopefully he can for the playoff run.
And it's funny, you know, the way Jason Kidd has kind of masterminded this whole thing. Like, we had our opinions on the way that he left Brooklyn. And I still don't think that was the right or proper or professional way to go out. But you can't knock what he's done in Milwaukee.
Yeah, this is now his second season coaching. He's now led two teams to two NBA playoff spots. Granted, it's the East, but Brooklyn was better off last year with Jason Kidd than this year. So we'll see what he can do in the future.
Yeah, and finally, we have the Toronto Raptors.
We the North. Taking
on the Washington Wizards in another game. Like, this is how bad the East is. I have a lot of friends that root for the Raptors, and the Wizards are the NBA team that is geographically the closest to me, and I've been to the MCI Center, but I don't care about this matchup.
I will care about the Raptors. I mean, I think Raptor fans are underrated, and I think they will, like last season with the Brooklyn series, once the playoffs get underway, they will get excited for this team and sort of root for them. But if they get past Washington, then they have a series with Atlanta, which I don't see them. Even I'm not really buying Atlanta as the team out of the East. I don't think they can. I don't think Toronto can do enough to upset them. So I do want to see a Toronto-Atlanta series just to see how that plays out. But yeah, Toronto-Washington, that should be the NBA TV series right there. Just most people don't need to watch that.
You know, you should be rooting for an Atlanta Wizards second round matchup.
Why is that?
Because that will be the blackest NBA playoff game in history. Two chocolate cities. The chocolate championship will be on the line, Marcus. DC and Atlanta.
What could go wrong?
It doesn't get any blacker. And Danny Ferry will still be hiding somewhere.
Yes.
I'm not touching that series with a 10-foot pole. There's a lot of hip-hop being played in those arenas. but yeah, I tend to agree with you, Marcus. I think that when you look at the East, as much as I root for the Hawks, I think they've got a shot. If the Cleveland Cavaliers take care of business, I don't see anybody else, you know, outside of maybe Derrick Rose finding the fountain of youth, I don't see anybody else really challenging the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I think Chicago is really the only team that can stop them. And it's going to come down to Derrick Rose.
Yeah, so I think either way, man, I'm looking at maybe Cleveland, Golden State in the finals. That'd be a really fun series. Who knows? Maybe the Spurs will find a way to get that old man strength back and they'll get another crack at LeBron. But I think I'll be excited, Marcus, once we get past a lot of these suspect matchups in the first round.
Yeah, this first round is usually there's a few series that are intriguing, but I am on a cruise ship next week. I am not gonna be missing much at all by missing half this stuff.
Now, we mentioned the Hawks, and I think the Hawks have a great shot to at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. One stumbling block that has kind of been put in their way is they're going to be entering the playoffs without the services of one Thabo Sefolosha. Now, Sefolosha is not a guy that jumps off the page, much like anybody on Atlanta, other than maybe Al Horford, maybe, jumps off the page.
Oh, Millsap.
They're like Millsap, T. Corbin, like, they're good players, but there's no stars, quote unquote. And Thabo Sefolosha definitely falls into that category, but he is a key reserve for the Hawks, and he will not be joining the Marcus because of another incident, maybe, of the police crossing the line.
Yeah, this goes back to an incident last week that had involved another NBA player, Chris Copeland, who was stabbed outside of a New York nightclub. Copeland was there, and also there in a... They weren't there together, but two Hawks were there, Thabo Sefolosha, and it was Perro Antrich. And yeah. Sefolosha was arrested, and in the process, he ended up fracturing his tibia. And due to what he's calling it, from the police, he's saying the police ended up breaking his tibia, and there's video of what happened with the cops sort of taking him down.
Did you watch that video, Marcus?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, and I will say that the word from the police side of things is that Thabo charged at them,
mm-hmm.
which is something that you should not do, obviously. But just from seeing what I see, you've got, what is it, 5 or 6 officers wrestling Thabo, and like they're telling them, hey, calm down, but they're pulling them in different directions.
Yeah.
And you can hear Thabo, and who is just like, he's very soft-spoken. He's like, hey, everybody, can we just calm down? And they're pulling him. Finally, they get him to the ground, and you see one officer take out a nightstick, and it's just like, I don't know what he did, according to the police, in their eyes, to incite that type of response. But it seems very extreme to the situation that was going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is just the latest round of police incidents in the last couple of weeks. There was a shooting in South Carolina with the unarmed African-American male who was running from the cop who ended up getting shot. And then there was the other incident with the, I believe it was a retired sheriff who was supposed to be pulling for his taser, and he pulled for his gun and ended up killing a black man. So this is a disturbing trend, and this one just happened to involve an NBA athlete.
And it's a weird situation because, according to Sefolosha and his teammate, they were there and they saw what happened with Chris Copeland. And is it his girlfriend, fiance, wife?
I think it's either Ed's wife or fiance or I forgot what the relationship was.
Copeland and his lady friend, we'll just say that. And they went over there, hey, this is a guy in the NBA fraternity. And they were like, hey, we want to get these people back away from him. Because obviously it's New York City. You got somebody who is semi-famous, maybe. Even if you don't know who Chris Copeland is, you're like, hey, that's a big dude. He must be somebody.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to get the crowd back. And apparently the cops weren't too keen on that idea. And then things escalated. And it's like, yes, as a citizen, as a civilian, you have your part of the equation. Like the guy that was unfortunately killed in South Carolina. It's like you shouldn't be running from the cops, But by the same token, if you are the police, if you are the authority, if you are those who are sworn to protect and serve, your first reaction should not be one of anger, should not be one of, oh, I'm going to show you. Because that's not protecting people. That is enforcing your own kind of values and morality onto a situation where you're supposed to be the people that are calming stuff down and diffusing stuff.
You are, and I do think it's important, though, that the message needs to be put out there that you shouldn't run from the cop, because this has been the common theme now in most of these incidents involving African-American males, is they're running, and it's not right what the cops are doing, but, you know, it's until we see an incident, and I'm sure there's been out there where a person is surrendering and then they get shot, okay, but you're setting yourself up for the cop to say, oh, he's running because of X, Y, and Z, and then at that point it might be too late, you might be dead. So it just seems like, trust me, the cops are definitely in the wrong, but I feel like we're not helping ourselves either by running from the cops as well. And I understand why that you might be running, you might be scared, you might feel like, you know, you're doing it, especially if you're unarmed and you know this cop is armed. That might be your natural instinct, but at the same time, it's turning out to be real bad for people.
Yeah, like the motto needs to be full compliance and full recording. Like,
yes,
we need eyes on the cop. Like, who watches the watchman? We need the cameras and the badges. We need all the surveillance we can get. But we also, in terms of citizens, you got to comply. You know, because it's not even the guys that are running. It's who's the gentleman? Eric Garner, New York.
Yes.
He was just like, hey, don't bother me. Don't touch me. And we saw what happened with him. So it's like, you have to be, even if the cop is being a dick, like, you have to protect yourself in a way from the police. Because if you do something outside of what they're saying, not all cops, not most cops, but some cops will use that to take liberties with you and sometimes ultimately take your life.
And I'm sure that's a conversation that should be had. I mean, I'm sure you had that conversation with your dad at some point, how to deal with the cops. And, you know, the less fathers we have in the house, though, the less times these conversations are being had, and they should be had at some point, because if you don't, I mean, how would you know otherwise how to handle an incident with the police? You wouldn't know. They don't teach you that. That's something you learn from your house, your household, your parents, so.
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, as a Hawks fan, this makes me annoyed on two levels. One, because it's another example, maybe, allegedly, possibly, of the police overstepping their jurisdiction, but going too far in terms of subduing someone who you can clearly see on the tape. Tabo is like, hey, let everybody just chill. Like, he is not in a
Right.
He's not in an aggressive position. To the contrary, it's the cops that are pulling him from place to place. So that's the one thing. And then it's also, you know, as a Hawks fan, it's like, man, if I'm not saying that he would be the reason that we lose, but he's a key reserve. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. And it could be like, man, we could have used Tabo to get a shot right there. We could have used Tabo to make a defensive stop right there. But now, because of what happened in New York, you know, he's not going to be around.
Yeah, he's a key defender. He would have been someone who could have been matched up with LeBron.
Yeah. So, and I know there's some people out there that are tired. I'm not even going to cast aspersions on who is saying this, in terms of the people in my circles that are tired of the Black Lives Matter thing, Marcus. And I will say, this might surprise you, but I agree with them.
You're tired of the coverage, or?
No, I'm just tired of like,
or having a discussion.
Exactly. And I'm tired, to have a discussion where we have to say, hey, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just as, if you're tired of hearing it from one side, I'm just as tired of having to say it from this side, because this is something that should be, Black lives should matter just as much as white lives, just as much as Asian lives, just as much as Latino lives. And it is troubling that every year we get more and more of these stories, where I think it should be the other way around. So, you know, I hate that. I know a lot of cops, and like I said, 90% of cops are good people that put their life on the line, don't get paid a whole hell of a lot for all of us. But there are that 10%, those bad apples that spoil a bunch. And until we get rid of them, until we change the system, until we as citizens develop a better relationship with the police, we're going to have to continue to say, hey, Black Lives Matter, because some people, and some people with the badge, and some people with the badge and a gun, don't seem to think that.
Yeah, it's we're at the point where we're going to get to a tipping point, sort of like the riots in LA back in 92.
Like, do you know, Marcus, like the main reason, I was just thinking about this, like the main reason why this Chris Copeland / Tabo Cephalosha story is kind of, I won't say it's been under the radar, but it hadn't been a big front page story, is because these guys are role players. Can you imagine what would have happened if, let's say, this was Dwayne Wade in Cephalosha's position, or Russell Westbrook, or somebody that is actually a star, Kevin Durant? Like, people would be going ham on this right now.
Yeah.
Like, if you cost me Kevin Durant, like, let's say he wasn't hurt, you cost me Kevin Durant for the postseason because of what appears to be police brutality, oh, it would have been an uproar.
Yeah, it would have been. But, you know, as you mentioned, these guys aren't really household names. So it's sort of, oh, okay, well, these NBA players. And luckily, no one's really gone with the whole, well, what are these guys doing out at 4 o'clock in the morning rhetoric. Because I was expecting that to happen, but no one's really gone down that hole yet, so.
Yeah, I think Copeland actually apologized for being out at 4 in the morning, which is, I mean, it's a nice move, but it's like, you're a grown-ass man. You don't have to apologize.
Yeah, no. It happens all the time, trust me.
Yeah, and I'm glad they didn't go that way, or the basketball player as thug route, because Cephalosha would be like the absolute wrong guy to do that with. Like, he's as far away, he's not Aaron Hernandez, let's just say.
Yeah, no. Oh, boy, speaking of.
So, yeah, locked up.
So. See you, Aaron.
Yeah, man, like, Marcus, this, if nothing else, I know you don't think Tim Tebow is a good professional quarterback, but this should give you respect for that man and his leadership skills, because he was in a huddle with the Pouncy Boys, Percy Harvin, and Aaron Hernandez.
And Riley Cooper.
And Riley Cooper, and things did not implode.
Like, why couldn't he save him? Why did they all take these twisted paths, huh?
I think the miracle is that he was able to at least keep them from going crazy when they were college kids. Like, that's the miracle right there. Yeah,
that's true.
Like, if you don't believe in God, I think that is an example right there. Tim Tebow must be talking to somebody with some high authority, because there's a lot of head cases on that squad.
Do you think Tebow will go visit Aaron Hernandez in jail?
Oh,
go,
man.
Go pray for him.
If anybody would do it, it would be Tebow.
But do you think Aaron would want it? I don't think he would want Tebow.
I don't think Aaron would want it, no. Yeah. Like, that, like, and you know, the media would be all over that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, tonight on ABC News, Tim Tebow goes to rescue his fallen teammate. I don't know, man. Like, I think Tebow would definitely do it, because I think that's the kind of guy he is. Like, here's the thing. Do you think Tebow actually liked these guys? Like, do you think he liked, like, knowing about Tim Tebow and his personality, do you think he liked hanging out with Hernandez or Percy Harvin or even Riley Cooper?
He likes everyone.
That's true.
I don't think there's anyone he doesn't like.
Yeah, you're probably right. He got along with Belichick, so.
Yeah, so.
Like, and Belichick, not only is Belichick the grumpiest man in the world, but he fired him.
Yeah, that too. So, yeah.
So, and Tebow still loves him. So. That was our NBA talk with a little bit of social commentary thrown in for good measure. Coming up next, Marcus, I think we need to lighten the mood. We got a little heavy this segment. So I think we need some ratchetness.
All right.
So if you're still listening, keep it locked right here, because up next is the often imitated, never duplicated segment 4, as the Kings of Sport rolls on. From my body house, I feel like me another.
familiar face of greed and race, a brother. But to my surprise, I find a man corrupt. Although he be my brother, he wants to hold me up. Having a hard time in this crazy town. Having a hard time. There's no love to be found. Having a hard time in this crazy town. Having a hard time. There's no love to be found.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We're back on the Kings of Sport. Marcus and Nate ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to tell you about the good people at the High Voltage Radio Network. We are, of course, a proud member of the High Voltage Radio Network, and you can check them out at highvoltageradio.com and see their stable of podcasts, including us, the Kings of Sport, our good friends Bill and Jamie over at Mr. Throwback Thursday. You got Attack of the Fangirls, Axology, Bayside High, and Drunk.
Wait.
I knew that one would catch your eye.
Say it again.
Bayside High and Drunk.
Is this a podcast about what I think it is?
Yes, it is a podcast that goes in depth and reviews Saved by the Bell episodes while the hosts are high and drunk.
Wow. I might have to.
That's right up your alley.
Might have to listen to that one.
No, if they only had a Gilmore Girls podcast where they snorted coke, that would be
icing on the cake.
Literally. So, yeah, you can check out all of those podcasts and more at highvoltageradio.com. Now, if we can get Marcus focused back on the program, it is segment four, Marcus, and this is the segment where we like to talk about ratchetness in the world of sports, entertainment, pop culture. And you have come to us tonight with a story, not just a story, but our favorite kind of stories where you brought video footage along with you.
Video footage you haven't seen yet?
No, I have not seen this footage.
All right, so stories involving Britt McHenry, who is a ESPN reporter, who was suspended for 1 week for an incident that happened at a tow yard that was captured on video. And let me know when you pull up that video.
Okay, so is she a big time reporter? Because the name doesn't even ring a bell.
She's
like, what stories do they usually have her cover?
Usually NFL, mostly.
Okay.
She's not an anchor, she's more of a reporter. So you won't see her like hosting SportsCenter or anything like that.
Okay.
Sort of like Jacinda Anderson's role, like, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, because I know Jacinda, and I know, who's your girl that was always out there with the Lakers?
Shelly Smith.
Shelly Smith, yeah. Of course, you got your boy, Sal Pal.
Pedro Gomez, yeah.
Yeah, but she's not on that level yet.
No, she's not there yet.
Okay, so Britt McHenry. All right, I'm pulling up the video right now.
And just to study up, the video is a camera focused on McHenry at a tow yard, and it's only focused on her, so you can't see the woman she's talking to in the video, but she goes on to berate the woman pretty hard for about a minute or so.
All right, here we go. All right, there's a little bit of text before the video. Okay. Whoa. Whoa. she was going ham.
Yeah, she was upset.
Oh, she is a terrible human being, Marcus Vandenberg. That is ridiculous. Wow. Wow.
Flip, is it over?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Britt had her car towed from a Arlington, Virginia restaurant, and this happened on April 5th. And I guess she, when she went to go pick it up, that's the incident that happened with the woman working the counter. And someone was a little upset about getting her car towed.
Wow.
Now,
yeah.
Do you think it's worthy of a 1 week suspension?
I do. Because, and like most things in this day and age, Marcus, because we have footage. Because it is a bad, I mean, obviously, just in terms of being a human being, like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
But in terms of a corporate entity like ESPN, who is owned by Walt Disney, like, you can't, it's kind of like, when was that? Didn't they have, like, a roast of Mike and Mike a couple years ago? And Dana Jacobson was one of the roasters, and she got blasted on stage.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Got smashed and got hammered drunk, and she had to take a little sabbatical. Because it's like, yeah, you are not just representing yourself. And the lady gave her an out, too. The lady at the tow truck place, she's like, we got you on camera. And she still...
didn't matter.
...acted a fool. Like, she's like, well, we might have to post this clip on the Facebook page. So the people can see it, facebook.com/KingsofSport. But basically, yeah, she goes in and is talking about how anybody could do this job. The lady at the booth has no education and no teeth and
fat. And
fat, yeah, you trailer park trash. And that's the reason. I'm on TV, honey. I'm on TV, baby girl.
That's the best line. At 28, she's already mastered the baby girl lingo in her vocabulary.
Yeah, this is. I don't want to say some stuff, Marcus, but I think I might have to say some stuff.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what?
It's not my job. Not my employer.
Unlike Britt McHenry, we are self-employed when it comes to this podcast, and I don't have a multinational corporation checking every word I say. But this is what irks me about some people in the media. Because I have dealt with people that are locally famous. I've dealt with people that are regionally famous. And I've dealt with, on a small number of occasions, people that are nationally famous. And I appreciate people who conduct themselves professionally. Now, everybody has a bad day from time to time, but I appreciate people that treat people right even though they don't have to, especially when they don't have to, because that's kind of the mark of that's your true character. How you treat people that don't have anything to benefit you. And so this chick, who I've not seen much of her work, I might have seen an on-camera once or twice, but have you seen a lot of her segments, Marcus, her recording?
I have, yeah.
Is she good?
Yeah, she's not bad.
Okay, because to me, Leah, like I said, I don't know anything much about her work. So if you say she's good, I'll take your word for it. But to me, there are a lot of people in this industry that their talent, let's say, does not equal their position. And so I would think that she would feel blessed to be on TV, feel appreciative of the opportunities that you've been given and been able to take advantage of, and not be so bitter. Like, and it's not just her, but like, I've seen guys that work for ESPN Radio, and they are some of the most bitter, joyless people I've ever met.
On like the local level or the national level?
Both.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, you know, granted, you know, everybody's job is hard. Like, you know, I'm sure you love your job, but there are days when it's a hard job.
Yeah.
But by the same token, it's like, you know what? You're in a not a, I guess maybe a privileged position. I don't know if that's the right word I'm looking for, Marcus.
I'm in a fortunate position, I think.
Fortunate, that's the best word, yes. It's not that you have not earned your spot, but it's that, you know, it takes a lot of talent and luck sometimes, mm-hmm. and knowing the right people to be able to get to a place like that, or a place like ESPN, or a place like Fox Sports. And, you know, like, I know you a little bit. I've known you for a while, and then, like, I know you got your grouchy days, but I don't ever see you as the type of person that would take your position for granted or feel that you are above somebody because of your position.
No.
And that's what I get from a lot of these folks, that it's like, hey, I'm kind of a big deal. It's like, you know, yeah, you kind of are, but you're really not.
Yeah, she definitely said, I mean, I would imagine I would be, especially, I mean, assuming she just got towed for no reason and it wasn't her fault, I would probably be upset as well. To the point where I'm lobbing fat insults and teeth jokes at the woman behind the counter, but, you know, would I drop a curse word or two while paying the bill? Probably.
That's like, if she was just mad and cussing and angry, I can understand that. And we probably wouldn't be talking about it here.
But she made it personal.
Exactly. She made it personal. And she pulled out the "Do you know who I am" card.
Yeah.
Which to me is always kind of, it's like, I mean, in this case, you the chick that got a car towed. Like, that's all this lady knows about you. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, and I think the lady wasn't the one that towed the car anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, she wasn't out there hooking up your vehicle.
Yeah, she's just doing her job. She killed me, though, when she was like, I see this racket you got going on here. You're all about taking people's money. I'm like, it kind of is a business.
Yeah, that's how business works.
That's how the tow business works. And if you really about that life, Britt, why didn't you do like, who's the boy we talked about a couple years ago, Marcus? Out in L.A. and went and got his car back.
Oh, he jumped the fence?
Yeah, man, the NFL player.
Oh, the former line receiver. What was his name?
Yeah, because he went and did it in broad daylight.
Titus? Let me find out.
Yeah, because that boy did it in broad daylight.
Titus, so if you really
about Titus Young, yes. If you really about that life, Britt, do like Titus did. Hop over the fence and get your car back, baby girl. But what like those are my thoughts, Marcus. But like when you first saw this, like what did you think of this mess?
I was a little terrified because, you know, even though they told her she's on video, you're not expecting this to become a story. So, you know, part of me feels like, wow, that I do feel bad for her a little bit, but at the same time, it's just a reminder that, you know,
do you agree with ESPN's decision? Because I think, like, if it was just cussing, I think, you know, they could let it slide. But the way it got real personal, I think if you're that company, you kind of have to do something.
You're representing the company at all times. So, yeah, I can see why she got suspended. Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you said it was a week suspension?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe during the week she'll have time to reflect on her life and some of the decisions she's made. She's still young, and she's a pretty blonde, so the media always has use for pretty blondes. So hopefully she can learn from this incident and not be an asshole to people.
Now, if this was Josina.
Oh, man. Josina would be
an angry black woman.
Exactly. Yeah, man. If this was Josina, Jamel.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let this have been Michael Smith.
Yeah.
Like, we got a number for you, Michael. You're fired. Oh, I wish this was Colin Cowherd, though, secretly.
Or Bayless.
Nah, I need Colin Cowherd to screw up, Marcus. So that's my ticket. That's the way I get in.
Keep wishing.
That's the way I get in. Colin screws up, and much like Barack Obama, I profit. I benefit from the failures of a white man. Oh, but so that's that story. That's a great story, Marcus. I'm glad you brought that to my attention, and we will post it up on the Facebook page so the listeners can get an eyeful and an earful of Miss McHenry. But real quick, Marcus, we keep promising this big series about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and I think we're going to postpone it for yet another week.
It's going to be a short series.
It will be.
Grand opening, be like, grand closing.
Yep, it'll be like the, what is it, the NHL Outdoor Series.
Yep.
Just two events. But yeah, we're trying to get it to you, but, you know, we got to have the right people to talk about this because, you know, Marcus and I are definitely going to give our opinions, but I think the more interesting thing is hearing from some old friends and maybe some new friends with their thoughts on Mayweather and Pacquiao.
Well, hopefully next week when I'm not around, you can find some people to discuss the fight with.
Yeah, so real quick, are you still as excited? Are you more excited? Or what's your level at for this fight as we get closer?
I'm getting there. I get back and then I leave a couple days later for Vegas. I'm starting to get more excited after the press days this week. It feels like there's more attention now in the fight. So I still think the fight's going to be a letdown, but I think the hype leading up to it will live up to the expectations.
Yeah, I think, man, like the actual fight itself, it will be like the first round or so is going to be electric.
Yeah,
but then when it settles down, and I think Floyd's going to win by decision, and it settles down into that kind of typical Floyd Mayweather fight groove, you'll have moments of excitement, especially. And I think the opening two rounds and the final two rounds, like, because Pacquiao might be getting desperate at that time.
Yeah.
And those will be really exciting. The middle part will be just like, okay, cool, we're here. But overall, I agree. I think it'll be one of the biggest boxing matches we've seen, one of the biggest events we've seen in a while. Like, if you thought, you know, some of these big UFC fights, like, they're big, but to me, nothing is bigger than a big-time fight in Vegas.
Yeah, better than UFC, better than WrestleMania. It just has this crossover appeal that the casual sports fan or a person who doesn't watch sports at all will watch a fight before watching a UFC event. So,
yeah, so that we got that coming up next week. We'll talk about some Mayweather Pacquiao. Or I'll talk about
solo.
Some Mayweather Pacquiao. Because Marcus, once again, is leaving. So you will be out on the waters, brother?
I will be. I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Okay. So Marcus will be back. Next week, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. You know, I might do a solo show and just have a guest pop on, or I might have a co-host, or I might go the live audio wrestling WrestleMania house party route and have a couple people pop in and just share their thoughts on some things. So, who knows? Stay tuned next week. It should be interesting. And Marcus, safe travels out there on the boat. Remember what happened last time they got us on the boat, brother?
Some of us got off.
Real quick, Marcus, do you know that your wedding wasn't the only time I thought of you this week?
What was the other time?
The second time was when I was listening to the radio and a Kanye West song came on, Kanye, frequent contributor or subject of segment 4. I don't even know what the name of the song is, but he just has this line, and I thought, wow, I might have to go back and change the intro. But then I was like, no, I'm too lazy to do that, quite frankly. But he's got the line in the song where he's like, I'm like a light-skinned slave. I'm in the motherfucking house. And I was like, damn, I think that'll be my new ringtone. Like, we rarely talk on the telephone, but for the times that you do, that'll be your ringtone.
For the year 3 intro, what did you update?
Like a light-skinned slave, I'm in the motherfucking house. Like, oh, that's brilliant, Kanye. Maybe you are a genius.
Maybe.
If anybody out there wants to continue to send you congratulations on your wedding or get some gambling tips from you as you're out there on the open seas, where can they hit you up at?
Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will. MARCOWILL, though you won't hear from me for a week, so I'll be doing dark.
It's a bad time.
I know.
And you can follow me on Twitter, in the number 8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic, on Twitter. The show. I lost my train of thought right there for a second. You can follow the show on Twitter, KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/KingsOfSport, iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Rate, review, like the show, and most importantly, share the show with your friends, because we think we're doing good work here, and we definitely want the word to spread. Don't keep this goodness all to yourself. Let it out to the world. So, unless you got anything else to talk about, Brother Marcus, I'm going to go and let you finish packing and get ready for your big trip on the open sea.
That's all I got.
All right. So, safe travels to Brother Marcus. You will be back in 2 weeks.
Yes, 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks, Marcus will make his return. He's getting to be like Brock Lesnar now.
Limited dates.
He's our very own special attraction. But Marcus will be back in 2 weeks. I'll be back next week with a show that I have yet to plan out. I've got some thoughts, but we'll see. Join me back here next week and we'll have some fun. So, for the gambler Marcus Vandenberg, I am the godfather Nate Milton. Always bet on black, baby girl, because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks. Attack like I just left.